Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
This ain't no disco. This ain't no country club neither. This is Crime Club. Hello, lady. Jack Beaumont here, a.k.a. the Decorated Pipesman, a.k.a. Daddy. This episode sees me discuss the condition of a certain house with a certain man and his certain friend. The Palace, Frank and Michael stroke Stuart, respectively. We got confused as to the latter's alias halfway through. I was not describing man-on-man affection. As always, you can expect to hear things you haven't heard before. Cats on cocaine, ketamine being injected, rather than sucked up the hooter via the power of the inward sniff. There's also some cocaine going up the arse at some point, but you've probably heard that already, haven't you, matey peeps? Jingle!
So just tell me about the gaff and then roll in some stories.
Okay, so I used to live in this house. Yeah. It was a bit of a trap house. Without getting too many people in trouble, no names, but we had a really big drug dealer that lived with us. He used to import drugs off the dark web.
Yeah, Silk Road kind of thing.
Silk Road, Holland's finest pills, literally about 260 milligrams of kind of pills you eat, and they blow your fucking head off, kind of ones. So as you can imagine, it got quite messy. He used to throw parties, and a geezer started kissing a lamp.
Kissing like, was so guitar fucked. Ramp?
No, lamp.
Oh, lamp.
Like a lamp, yeah. It's like kissing the lamp, getting off with it.
Wasn't he dancing with it as well?
Yeah, he thought it was his missus.
And proposed, no?
Maybe proposed, I can't.
I think he proposed to the lamp. Proposed to the lamp.
Right, so let's go, before we go into that, let's go names. So, we go, well, you want to be Frank, yeah? Frank.
Right.
Michael.
Frank and Michael, here you go. Yeah, go on. Geezer getting off of the lamp.
So, yeah, he was getting off of the lamp. I think he took about 5-6 USPs. UPS's.
Is that a branded pill?
It's a branded pill. The UPS brand, the delivery brand, this big fucking yellow chunk. They look like fucking shiny diamonds.
What shape are they? They're squares?
They're like a shield.
All right, yeah.
Fucking huge. Yeah, so he had like a couple of them. There's like 260 milligrams of MD in him, so he's off his fucking nut. He was a Scottish breeder. We had a nickname for him, but people know that, so we'll call him Penis.
All right.
So Penis.
Similar nickname.
Penis off his tits.
So he's obviously controlling him, really big bollocks, just fucking taking like five of these things, and has lost the absolute plot. He's kissing this lamp, he's with it the whole night, so it's like a 6-hour agenda. He's fucking snogging it, telling it he loves her.
Is he carrying it around with him? Or
yeah,
just like
he's introducing people to him.
And so it's like a small handheld lamp?
Yeah, it was a small handheld lamp. It can't have been bigger than like half a foot.
Yeah.
And he's literally walking around introducing people to it as his missus. So he had a lamp all night. So that's just one.
But it's like he was convinced though. Like,
He was completely like psychotically delusional. So he was convinced it was his missus. So we ran with that. We also had the same night, I believe we had this kid who turned out to be a sex offender.
Oh yeah.
And he kind of admitted, he was so fucked on pills that he actually admitted kind of hacking into people's iClouds.
Crime Club.
Sorry, carry on.
So we had a couple of good nights we get into before we get into the tasty stuff. Might be myself. Yeah, I'll get to that. Might be myself. We had a brand new kitten. It was like a couple months old. And someone who I will admit and openly admit to this was my finest moment. May have seen what happens when you feed a cat cocaine.
You fed a kitten cocaine?
Yep.
What happens to the kitten?
I have never
started chatting bollocks.
No, I wish. It ran around the room like it took cocaine. We had that, and then we had a pet snake while we had the kitten. So we just used to leave them on the pool table because we had a pool table that was made up as a table.
Did they get on?
Oh, the snake didn't want to eat it, but they didn't get on.
It's not a bad start.
It's not a bad start. So yeah, we had a bit of a David Attenborough, real life in the gaff. We had a New Year's party where the front stairs fell in, caused a gas leak, and the whole road had to be evacuated.
I read about that. Yeah,
that was New Year's. That was all right. And then we had a... we just had odd kind of moments, ones where...
Who are you living with? Let's get into the characters that you're living
with. Okay, so we live with a football hooligan.
Yep.
We live with a girl that's just injected ketamine all day.
Right, as in like...
She's just some northern bird. She was a complete nitty.
So you... Usually ketamine, you sniff it.
Normally you sniff it, yeah.
But how does she... So would she bite as powder?
She'd bite as powder, cook it up and then inject it.
What, teaspoon vibe or what?
Yeah, teaspoon and then use the syringe, like proper nitty.
That is very extreme.
Yeah, we had a nice little Welsh girl, about 5'4", mixed race, really polite, just didn't fit in at all.
How long did she last?
She lasted the whole duration, but I think it's because rent was only 400 quid, so she kind of just firmed it out for cheap rent. Things people do for cheap rent. We had a Spanish lesbian who was in London for so long, she started talking like a roadman. Which was quite interesting. So she's like Spanish girl would be like, "Hey, well, what'd you say, well?" That was a nicer interaction. We had a couple of house kind of guests that weren't formally living there, but would just stay all the time. Shout out to Kev.
What kind of condition was the? Sorry, do more shout outs if you want.
Yeah, shout out to Kev and Stuart.
Shout out to Kev and Stuart. So, what kind of condition was the gap in? Was it in terrible nick or what?
Okay, it could have been a nice gaff. It was one of these gaffs where if you put a bit of love into it, but it wasn't. It was in terrible fucking shape. As I mentioned this kitten before, the kitten then went on to have three rounds of four litters. So we had 12 kittens throughout a year cycle.
Rolling around what I imagine to be a fairly drug infested
Yeah,
house.
Basically. So the ketnity that I just referred to, she ran out
Let's
of
Let's give her a name. Let's call her like...
We'll call her Horsey. Horsey ran out of K and she ran out of money. And she realised that her cat can have kittens and she can sell the kittens. So what she'd do is get the cat knocked up and then sell the kittens. But then we'd have loads of middle class couples coming in from like Dulwich of that seeing this kitten in Gumtree, thinking that it's from a nice respectable family, and then just walk into a trap basically, a trap house, and they'd want to get the kittens out as fast as possible. So she basically...
That's quite a good selling point though, because they like the kittens, but they want to get them out of the shithole.
So we had one housemate selling fucking class A imported drugs. We had another one, a crackhead, selling fucking kittens. I mean, it was a bit of a free-for-all house. Anything you wanted, you could have got it.
Yeah.
Grand club.
I want to hear more about Horsey. What happened with her? Was she? She sounds like an interesting character.
Interesting, I would say. She's she was a bit older than us. So we were all students, and she was like 30, maybe 28. She wasn't a student, never went to uni, but she liked the student vibe, so she decided to stay in the student house.
How did she get wind of the?
She was in the gaff before any of us moved in. She was like the quote unquote lead tenant.
Right.
It was quite ironic. There was one time when she left a used needle in my bed and my girlfriend got pricked by it.
Why was it in your bed?
I don't know, I went away for a week and I came back and there was a used needle in it.
That sounds like either she's used in your bed to take drugs in, or she just done there to put it there for a laugh.
Well, as a wind-up. Yeah, there we go.
Is she that kind of erratic character?
I think she was just because I had the nice bedroom. So when I used to go away, people used to stay in my bedroom all the time.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling she just kind of stayed in there because it was a nicer bedroom than hers. And just got too fucked and left it. But obviously there was hell to pay afterwards. I threatened to throw her cat out the window. Rough times.
When you threatened to throw her cat out the window, did she? What were the demands on that point?
Well, we were having an argument, and it kind of kicked off about fucking her leaving the needle in the room. And obviously, she kind of got a bit pissed off, and then me and my housemate was mugging her off after that. So she punched in with her hands our front window. My housemate's window, and then she came up to my stairs to punch in my window. She's a big lass, like 6'2".
Can handle yourself.
Bit of a giant. Yeah, yeah, can handle yourself. She punched in the two windows, and basically she's gone to punch mine in, and I just picked up her cat and was like, if that window breaks, the cat goes straight out. And she kind of looked at me, looked to see if I was being serious, and I was being fucking serious. And she stopped punching the window and went into her room. So as you can say, it was a very traumatic, very kind of stressful.
So there were ups and downs.
Ups
definitely.
And downs, great times.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is for us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot of them are all kind of fucking people injecting ketamine and trying to kill cats.
Yeah, so I swear there's some more like about the wrong-uns that Horsey would bring back.
Oh yeah, she used to like to hang with homeless people.
Yeah.
Or like squatters.
Which in a way is commendable, obviously you've got to give everyone love, but at the same time not necessarily bring it back to your gaff and
Like 6-man squatters just in your gaff all the time trying to ponce snout, weed, whatever they can. And like they used to love playing music. They were really like two of them twins, they were sick at the guitar. One was singing and the other was guitar, but that's all they had. Like they'd turn up with their guitar and their voice and they'd be like, can I just eat your food?
Yeah, can I have breakfast, please?
Can I do your lines?
Yeah.
Can I have your snout? And he's just like, look, I don't like you singing that much. Can you just get the fuck out of my house? And they were anarchists, and I haven't got any time for anarchists.
But didn't they have a fight? And like, one of them got fucked.
That was a different night. That window got smashed.
Tell that story, let's have it.
I wasn't there, but from recollection of what I've heard, we had a couple squatters, anarchists, they're all Geordies, and they were just kicking off with each other, and one of them just threw the other one through a window, basically.
Front window?
Front window, straight through. But because the house was on a platform, it's like a 4, maybe 5 foot drop.
Yeah.
So he's gone through the window and just dropped like 4 foot.
He got up.
He scratched. Fair play, he's Geordie. Like, he's hard. He got up.
What are they doing in London?
They live here. They squat here. They're homeless. It's the best place to squat. Can't squat in Jordan. Fuck you. Everyone needs a house up in up north.
Yeah, I guess so.
Not there. But yeah, no. There's a lot of things and a lot of.
So in this house, you've regularly got homeless people.
People inject drugs with needles.
I suppose we should draw a distinction, because the idea of your housemate Horsey bringing homeless people back is, you know, it's a charitable act, and it got it on the surface. It sounds nice,
it's just,
but the reality
people
is
people who want company.
Yeah, the reality is they might overstay their welcome and kick off.
Yeah, and I mean it's nice to have like a homeless person in your house for like maybe a night, give them a home, give them a bed.
Here's a tenner.
But I mean, Horsey's just naive. I mean, there was a couple of times we've had a lot of altercations. She glassed me once at an event. I won't say any event. And so anyway, I we're in a pub and she's glassed me, and it's not the first time it's happened. I think it's the third. And she's a woman. My mum taught me never lay hands on a woman.
Yeah,
but
cool.
It's the only time. Wanted to kick the fuck out of a woman.
Yeah.
Like, solidly kicked the fuck out of them. Didn't. Restrained myself. Very difficult, but did it.
I suppose if someone's glassed you on several occasions, then the temptation is going to be running high.
Very, very high.
But, you know, fair play
for
not.
So she's gone to. But she's such an idiot. She's glassed me. I had a big afro at the time. and it's smashed, it's cracked, but no damage because the afro just
mad soft,
fucking mad, yeah, mad soft, basically best kind of suspension and buoyancy aid I could ever got. And she's cut her hand and had to go to hospital. So I'm like, I was loving it. So she went to hospital. She met another homeless person. She's just drawn to homeless people.
Yeah.
And she met this homeless, I think she was from Croydon, this homeless bird that we had moved out at this time, but my actual other friend was living with her. And so she's met this homeless bird and she's just come out of prison. And the homeless bird has said to her, look, I've got nowhere to stay. Do you mind if I stay at yours? Horse is a lesbian, the other bird's a lesbian. So I think there was a bit of scissoring going on. So she's gone back to the homeless bird who's come out of prison, has gone back to Horsey's new house that isn't a trap house.
Oh, so she's no longer living with you?
No, she's living in a nice house, 2-3-bedroom flat with one of two other friends of mine. I just heard the story off the cusp from my friend. And my friend was really angry because he's like, how the fuck have you let a homeless person who's just come out of prison back to our house? And she ended up staying there for like a week.
Mm.
And he basically took all his valuables out and just fucked off because he was like, I've had enough of it. I've had enough of you, your shit behaviour, and you bringing back homeless nitties. Turns out, the night she glassed me, the same night she met that person, 4 days later, the homeless bird robbed an ounce of weed off her credit cards, and all the money from her purse. So, I mean, in all honesty, karma's a bitch. Because the only reason that homeless bird was there with her is because she fucking glassed me and then cut herself and went to hospital and met her at the same bird. So I'm just saying she's not very intelligent.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm all for, you know, charitable behaviour, but if you insist on it regardless of circumstance, then that kind of thing is going to happen to you.
Yeah, it is, and I think there's a line in between charitable and kind of just letting people do what they want and kind of can't let people take advantage of you, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
That house kind of, he can never really handle drugs himself.
Yeah.
But he did well, to be fair, in a house full of fucking drug addicts, drug dealers, nitties, homeless men.
What made the house worse is the fact that he would come back, as he said, he's a football hooligan, so he'd be at football every weekend. He'd bring maybe, 30 lads back every weekend just to shut to,
which
basically.
Would,
and then get on it, which would lead to, well...
Which would go
shenanigans.
Yeah, we'd have problems with Horsey and the kid who we'll call Pikey. Because obviously, I mean, it was already a fucking social house as it is, let alone 30 really nice football hooligans, I might say.
Yeah.
The nicer side of ones.
So you're in a situation where you're living with this football enthusiast, and he'd bring plenty of fellas back here, like, once a week. Yeah,
she kind of fancied him, so she'd let it go and I'd get more of the blame because she fucking hated me.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, maybe she's a racist.
Maybe. What are the killer anecdotes from that kind of including Pikey and Horsey? Are they any killers?
So quote unquote, I had a friend that walked in on them having sex.
That was me.
And
Stuart pipes up.
I spoke to Pikey and I was like, how could you do that? She's grim. And he basically said to me, he threw up in his mate's bin while she was on top
his
of him.
His mate's sister's bin. Little
his mate's sister's bin. He was in his mate's sister's up, bed. In the bin, and they, while she was on top of him, and they carried on like nothing changed.
Fair play.
They were like a 5-year-old's bedroom. No?
Yeah. She was about 5 or 6. What other anecdotes do I have of them too? I walked in on Horsey blowing coke up one of my mate's arse once. On Halloween,
was he on all fours kind of thing?
He was on all. I was fucked on K. I thought they had like a weird sexual relationship, and I walked in, and I'm just fucked on K. And I was like, "Oh, sorry guys, you're doing something sexual. Ignore me. I'm gonna go and have a wank in the corner." And he's like, "No, we'll call him L. We'll call him L." And he's like, no, it's not sexual. Come in, mate. She's just blowing coke up my arse. She had a straw there. Like, she was on her knees. He was on all fours with the straw just connecting between her lips and his arse cheeks. Just like, pew, pew. It was like them African blowpipes.
blow darts.
Yeah, that's it. It was full of fucking yayo. That was a great scene. I mean, that will never leave me. We had a bit of psychological banter. We were leaving and we had our move up date, we were going to have one final blowout, and Horsey had glassed me a couple times, we had She pissed off my mates. She's been a general cunt. I really wanted to get her back. So basically, I planned an overly elaborate plot to kind of just psychologically fuck with her. So she said we can't have the house party. Me and Pikey were like, no, it's going on. But she knows what I'm like. She's like, what are you plotting? You've got something plotted for me. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking crazy. And I have man them turning up to the house. And fucking, you're like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, she's going mental. I'm on the phone to some man them, like, outside her room, be like, oh, look, you just got to have to fuck her up. Like, she's a fucking cunt. And she's shitting herself. I wasn't even on the phone to anyone. I'm just fucking around. Like, literally having fun. My kind of plan was to just do nothing but pretend I'm doing a lot.
Yeah.
And she'll just freak herself out. To basically show
it's a good plan, but it is an evil plan also.
It was probably one of the most evilest things I've ever done, other than considering done the
carry on.
So I've told her that she knows what I'm like, I'm a dark cunt. It's like I've got the fucking hell plan for her. She, because of that, she wasn't mentally strong in the first place. At one point, she's breaking down to my pal, threatening to jump out of the top balcony window because I pushed her so far.
So she's got your pal on the phone?
No, my pal's there.
Oh.
And he's in the room, and I've come in, and she's screaming at me, and she's tried to jump out the window because I pushed her too far, and I was like, hold it, Frank.
So you have, just to get things crystal clear again, you have wound this girl up to the point where she's threatening to jump out the window.
Yeah, all over, not really doing much.
Not doing...
Saying a lot, but not planning to do anything. Well, the whole point of it was trying to highlight how mentally fragile she was.
Yeah, well, it paints a picture of you
so easily.
It paints a picture of you both because of the fact, obviously, how mentally fragile she is to go to those lengths after a wind up, but also how willing you are to wind her up to that extent. You know, it's a tale of two.
Fair play, and I thought there's a lesson learned there, Jack.
Frank, you have done smacking that. You know.
I've tried smack. I had a friend who was.
Oh, your dad's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I had a friend who was a smackhead, and he's not anymore. Shout out to he got over it.
He beat the dragon.
He beat the dragon. But like during, it must have been about 17, 18. I was always around him. I was always at his house chilling, and some days I get fucked up. One day I've gone out with my boys. He did smack. He didn't come out with us. Which not really needed said, but I've seen Trainspotting and you don't really leave the spot that you're doing the smack. We've gone out to a night out, I think it was a breakbot night in XOYO. I've got fucking absolutely titted up on Mandy. MDMA for all you people that don't know what that is. Gone back to his house, I'm fucking rushing off my teeth, fucking my mouth's all fucking hurting, my eyes big, and I'm like, oi, let me hit that. So he's given me what they called it, to chase the dragon, but with it could smoke crack as well. So he's done a crack.
Yeah.
And smack kind of got the tinfoil out.
What's it called? Screwball?
Screwball, that's it.
Is it screw knife?
Yes. No, it's a screwball. Got the tinfoil out, notched it all up, and I've just tried to smoke it as fast as possible, being like a level one smack screwballer. And basically, next thing I know, I don't remember what happened. I woke up the next day to my pal, all my pals standing over me, and they were like, you turned blue, and your eyes were open, like you nearly died.
So before you turned blue, had you just banged a load of crack and smack?
Yeah, whilst on MDMA.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I was only 18 at the time as well, so not the smartest thing. Probably the best though, because your heart's quite young at that point. Your heart can take it. I reckon if I try that now, that's fatal heart attack. So I've done that. Woken up.
Did you feel good though?
I woke up feeling banging. Yeah. For like 10 out. That don't do crack and smack, kids. But like, I did. 10 out of 10. Like, so anyway, I had after that like a 6 month little once a month. We used to have smack once a month Sundays. It's like a Sunday roast. So you have a Sunday roast and then you get bang on the brow, then you watch The Wire. And I think it's gonna be a fucked up club. Wrong and telling tales of so much stuff. It's not the kind of club they have at home. Oh, no, no, no. It's a crime club.
Shout out Frank, shout out Michael, shout out Stuart, and a big pair of V's for Victory flicked up at the twat who tipped over that table at the beginning, compromising the integrity of Crime Club's already dubious sound quality. Arsehole. I told him to be quiet as well. Also, with regards to the beginning, after a few minutes, there's a bit about a sex offender that's quickly brushed over. I brushed over it because I'm aiming to make this Crime Club's first big scoop. Basically, the guy in question has been worming his way up the political advisor ladder, and I'm looking to take his Nazi self down a rung or two, because he remains at large and unpunished. Watch this space. There's episodes next week, but I haven't yet decided which order to put them in. Still got Chronicles of Tarquin Volume 3 to come, but I might save that for a finale. You'll just have to wait and see, you sexy wrong'un. Buy a Crime Club tank top at podcastmerch.co.uk, or a t-shirt, or a bag, or a jumper. I don't care. I'd rather a tank top, though. Just a little something to wear around the house while you pick your arse watching Teen Mom. I don't know. Go on. I'm skint. Ladies.
A club full of crime, a club full of song, where wrongins do things that are wrong. Oh God, for shame, I do not know this podcast name. Its name is Crime.
Of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Martin Hedday bashing a head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.